You are in for a treat. In today's episode of Prime People, I am interviewing Sarah Steele, who is very well known in the luxury home building and custom home building space. She works for a company called Aristcraft Stone, and you would be shocked the amount of times that I post a luxury property online and she sends me a DM. She's like, we did that house. And it, you know, it's always interesting talking to people who are in the craftsman space and the craftswoman space because they have an eye for quality. And one of my favorite things about Sarah is when I follow her feeds and her pages, it really does come through. Now, when I dug into her bio a little bit and I saw how many boards, home builder associations, and what a proponent she is for skilled trades, women in trades, and the industry at large, I wanted to bring her onto the podcast and chat with her about her journey, what her role is, what it's like working with consumers in the space, and just learn. So if you're new to the Prime People podcast, we interview people in real estate entrepreneurship and really just learn lessons and insights from them that you can take into your world and your business. If you know anybody that might appreciate this episode, make sure to share it out, like, and subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. But let's not waste any more time. You know, we've known each other digitally for a very, very long time now.
Yes, we have.
Let's go back to the beginning, though, for the people that don't know you. How did you end up working for Aristcraft Stone, and what is your role with the company?
I got recruited.
Okay.
By my now boss, George Windsor. I had known him for years through the London Home Builders Association, and he had recently been promoted and was looking for a replacement. So he approached me and said, would you ever consider switching industries. And I said, maybe, let's talk. So I met with him, told me about the position, told me about what I'd be doing, which was essentially similar to what I did in the plumbing world.
Okay.
But now I'd be in the exterior world.
And when you worked in the plumbing world, what were you doing in that space?
So as well, luxury sales specialist. So same, dealing in the custom world.
Yeah, because I was going to say, like, if I jump to plumbing, I have friends that are in that industry. Mm-hmm. I mean, you were spending some money on bathtubs and fixtures. The stone world, I mean, we were talking earlier before the podcast and I almost had to stop the conversation because I wanted to film this. You were even talking about the intricacies of the stone that you guys design. I think we think brick. And we think, well, you know, it's got poly in it and it's built in many different ways. Mm-hmm. And then you explain to me how Aristcraft Stone is actually fabricated. Can you dig into what you guys actually create?
So we do what Mother Nature did hundreds of millions of years ago, but we do it in about 10 hours.
Wow.
So we start with sand, pigment, and lime. That's it. There's nothing else in our stone.
Interesting. And actually, for the clip and when you're doing the editing, we can throw in a clip of Jennison. There's a few other houses that I'll share that you can throw clips in of examples of the stone. It's beautiful. And I think when we sell luxury properties, it really does make a difference for the end consumer to walk up to a house and the stonework is just impeccably done. So I guess that consumer journey, what does that look like for you? Like when somebody's building a custom home and they're working with a builder, at what point are you in the conversation?
I'm usually brought into the conversation fairly in the beginning, like right in the beginning usually. The homeowners typically will always have a vision. I want my house to look like this. From there, a builder will say, Sarah, I need you to meet with these homeowners. I take them on a driving tour, but I also talk to them as well. What's your inspiration? What do you want your home to look like? You're going to be pulling up to this home potentially for 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
How do you envision this home? Tell me what you want to see.
That's an interesting approach too, because even saying that to somebody, like you're not just buying this many square feet, bedrooms, bathrooms, how do you want to feel when you come in? And are you talking styles like contemporary, Parisian, like you're
correct.
Walking through? Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So I get all of that information from the rendering when I see that from the builder. However, I want to hear it out of the homeowner's mouth. What do you want to see when you pull into your driveway?
And then how do you draw that out of them? Because I mean, in our experience working in the real estate space, people will say, I want to live in the country. And then I walk them through what that lifestyle actually looks like. And like, you can do chickens and horses and cows, but like, you're also running a bunch of tech companies. And as much as that sounds great, what is your time going to look like against that? So that, like, from a lifestyle perspective, we go through that process. How do you do that with something like a stone?
So typically what I say is I direct them to my Instagram if they don't have an idea. I say, you know what, go to my Instagram. Take a look. There's a lot of projects on there, beautiful projects that you can look at, again, for inspiration. Also, it's as simple as, do you prefer black? Do you prefer white? Do you prefer neutrals? Do you want red brick? What do you want? And if they don't know, then it's even more so, go to take a look at my Instagram, look at some projects, go on to Pinterest, look at things that inspire you, because you will know, I don't want to pull into a house that's black or white.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. Like, we like light and bright, mm-hmm. and there's other people that love dark and right. contrast. When you get to the point where you're working with a homeowner and they've chosen something that you feel, do they ever pick things that clash and you're kind of trying to guide them to what a proper finished product would look like?
Absolutely, but yeah. I have to stay neutral.
Yeah.
I can't tell them what I like.
For sure.
I want to know what you like.
Yes.
So if they were to pick something, for example, and I'm just throwing out colors, and they said, I want to have yellow siding and purple brick, I may say, you know, you may want to think those options.
Sure.
Simply for the fact that there is going to be a time when you don't live in that house. And yep. for resale, like the resale value, you're going to want to have a really beautiful exterior to draw somebody in to see the house. So I will point out things if they're a big clash.
For sure.
You just don't want to have that.
I like your approach, because we do the same thing. Actually, I remember a recent conversation I talked to a client. I was like, you can do gold toilets if you want.
Right.
Nobody's going to pay you for that on a resale.
Right.
So if you want to take those toilets with you, you're going to have to replace them all, tongue in cheek. Mm-hmm. But it's the same premise, right? Where if you do your house exactly how you want, it's great. You can enjoy it. But think about what that's going to mean as an investment. Now, you ever encounter a situation where you've like reclad or redone the exterior of a house?
Well, I was just going to say that. So when you're picking your exteriors,
yeah.
you really can't change it.
Yeah.
You can, but it's very costly.
Insane.
It's not like moving into a new home and saying, okay, I don't love my flooring, I'm going to change that. Or I don't love this paint color. To change the exterior yeah. is a lot of money. So you want to make sure you're making the right choice.
I've never seen somebody actually do it. That's why I was laughing. Yeah. I'm like, I've seen people talk about it, but I've seen people paint brick and
absolutely.
Stone.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're going to paint the brick, you want to make sure it's you're using the right type of brick.
Okay.
Because if not, that, especially in Canada, you can have moisture get caught behind, and that's what caused the spalling of the brick.
Interesting.
So you'll see those deficiencies.
And that was my next question. Yeah. I was like, if I buy a new home and I don't like the color of it, it's not as simple as just saying, oh, you can paint it. That's not a problem, right?
That's not a DIY project.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. And that goes to another conversation we were having, because in my industry, there's a separation between people who, in my opinion, are craftsmen and craftswomen at what mm-hmm. they do, and they know product and they make proper representations. And when the market was insane, you had agents that would just say things like that. Oh, you can paint that, no problem. How do you feel about that conversation in terms of, like, when you're working with, say, real estate agents, mm-hmm. how can they feel like they have the ability to call somebody like yourself to develop a relationship to maybe ask you questions like that? Or I guess, what is your interactions typically with real estate agents?
I am happy to help anytime with a realtor. I know I spend a lot of time also on realtor because I like to see what's coming.
Sure.
And quite often I will share realtors' listings.
Interesting.
It's our stone.
Yeah.
So I'm going to help them, and it's also going to, I'm going to get some really great photography out of it. So I think we do work hand in hand. And if somebody did call me and say, hey, Sarah, like, somebody's got this listing or my listing, they want to change the exterior, I would give some suggestions, because there are some very simple things you can do to update the exterior without having to spend a lot of money.
That's interesting.
But the brick and stone, you're kind of with that.
We'll go back to the Jennison property. Right. I was talking about, like, man, if I was ripping out all of the stone from that house, it would be insane the amount of money versus mm-hmm. if I was actually changing other aspects of the exterior, right. making the stone pop in a way different way. Actually, on the interior, there was a stone. The walls, I believe, were like yellow, and we neutralized them, painted mm-hmm. them white. And all of a sudden, we had intended on painting the stone fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked so beautiful against the white that we're like, we wouldn't want to paint that stone anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, I'm happy to anytime if somebody, can I offer, you know, can I get your advice? Absolutely. Even a friend of mine has the salmon pink brick.
Okay.
And she was going to take it down. And I was like, no, just paint the exterior door. Paint your window. Just change those things. And that's going to change the look of the house completely.
What are your favorite stones and bricks right now? Like colors or palettes or materials? You probably see a lot.
I see a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm a traditionalist.
Okay.
That being said, I prefer more of a warmer neutral palette. But you can put that on both a modern designed home and on a traditional designed home.
And then I guess from looking at probably thousands of houses, mm-hmm. from when you got in the industry to today, what trends do you really like? And what do you think, like, where the industry's going in terms of home building?
I think you're going to start to see, because of the affordability issues coming in, I think you're going to start to see a lot more towns, stacks going up, mid-rise, low-rise. That's definitely a trend that we're, I think, going to see in Southwestern Ontario.
Yeah.
I think for a long time, we've avoided that, but with land costs being the way they are. So I think we're going to see some shifting into that as well. I think we're also going to hopefully see more bungalows.
Yeah. Yeah, I think just for usability and livability to seniors, even attached bungalows, before people didn't want anything attached. Now we're seeing communities being designed. We were just talking about Domus, their project at Landingsport Stanley. We're noticing like that community is developing its own culture.
It is.
Now that they have the pool, you have neighbors that know each other. Like, I kind of like that aspect of it. And people like Domus, they always get creative with their exteriors, what doesn't feel like it's just another project. Before I worked with them, I remember driving by the Good Life and their project on Fanshawe Park Road. I'm like, I feel like I'm in like Brooklyn. I'm like, this is so different, right? And I always get appreciation for stuff like that.
They're a big supporter of Aris Craft and Canada Brick, and they've used our product for years. So that project you are referencing, it is our material.
That's awesome. Yeah. We have footage of that one too. Yeah. I'll give it to you to actually clip into it. It is still one of my favorite buildings in London. And I think that's why we like working with them. And that's why I wanted to bring you on the podcast, was we like people who appreciate their craft, no pun intended. Going back to you getting into the industry, what was your on-ramp like? Like, what did you have to learn? Talk about kind of your experience getting to the point that you're at now.
So I'm going to say it's osmosis. My mom worked in residential construction in housing sales for a large builder here in London.
Interesting.
So in high school, I would help her. I would go in, I was a hostess, I would show people through the model home.
That's awesome.
I would point out, you know, the upgrades and that. So I really truly learned through osmosis, through my mom. From there, I knew I wanted to get into like sales and marketing of some kind. I figured construction is where I would follow. So I went to school, went to Fanshawe, finished school, moved to Toronto. In my 20s, I worked in event management, worked for a sports hospitality firm, got my feet wet, lived my life in Toronto, and then it was like, enough is enough, I need to come back.
Sure.
So I came back to London and worked for a builder and worked as a hostess in their decor center, so helping people do their selections for standards.
Perfect.
And then I went to site in the afternoon. From there, I was approached by a sales agency that represented the Masco brands, so Delta Faucets, Brizo, etc. Outside sales for them, doing luxury market, and here I am today.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I've always been part of it.
So you actually probably know more about our industry than some newer agents that are watching this. Give them some tips. Like when you have clients walking into a new home and you're guiding them, getting out of your Aris Craft for a second.
Yes.
The customer journey experience, like how do you meet people you've never met before? How do you develop a rapport with them? Like what were some of the lessons you learned?
When people were coming into a model home?
Into a model home.
You just want to be approachable.
Yeah.
And then you want to show, what do you like?
Yeah.
So if that particular home, you love the staircase, for example, and you know you really love the spindles, or there's something in the home, find the features you like and start with that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is true, because if you truly like it, that's naturally going to come off to those people.
It absolutely will.
And if those people didn't like that home that you were showing, how would you guide them to another product that might fit?
You could take them into a different home. So back again, going back when I worked in the industry for a builder, we had 5 model homes. So there would have been something for them to gravitate towards. Could have been a bungalow. It could have been maybe a corner lot, a starter home in that particular development. So you'd want to take them to where you think they would fit in.
I'm asking her leading questions because the premise there is knowing your product.
Right.
Right? Where I find so many people just expect the sale to happen without actually studying the product. So in the building space, you knew the product and the other options that were available. And it's probably the same in the stone product, where you're looking at houses and you probably have a mental inventory of, well, okay, they like that house. So if I bring them to physically see this house, all of a sudden that emotion they felt looking at the photo becomes real.
That's
is that
right.
Kind of how the journey
Absolutely.
Happens?
Absolutely. I refer to it as my Rolodex in my mind, where I'm like, okay, tell me what you want to see. Okay, I've got something. And then we start from there. And I think it's really, again, asking those questions. What do you like? What do you want to see?
That's awesome.
And getting that emotion from them.
So if you ever buy a house and build a house with Sarah, you may see a quick drive-by on the outside with somebody else and looking at it. But I like that. And I think it creates a human connection. It's how we met. Yeah. And it's, I get excited when you would DM me on stuff, because now I know you know the product, and I would learn stuff about those houses that maybe I didn't know ahead of time. I mean, I always encourage the collaboration. If you haven't met Sarah and she DMs you about a project that you have, cultivate that, because then it gives you insights that I don't know the stone as well as you do, and you could potentially be working together in a different capacity. You know, going back to the home builders associations, you had mentioned how important that was. So you were, was it London, and you're currently in Windsor?
So I'm London, Windsor, St. Thomas, Stratford, and Chatham Kent.
Interesting. So it's we're doing more stuff up near the Stratford area, and actually Chatham Kent as well. I'm in Melbourne, actually, just later on today. What does the HBA, or what does the Home Builder Association, mean to you, and why do you think it's important?
I will say that I honestly am sitting where I am today because of the relationships at the HBA level. It got me into the room, and at the time, there wasn't a lot of females in the room, so we kind of would gravitate together, but it gave me the credibility to be able to, and confidence to be able to talk to a builder, talk to a developer, or to just talk to anyone. And it really helped me find my path. And I remember the first meeting I went to for London Home Builders. They said, in order to get something out of this, you need to volunteer. So my background was event management.
Okay.
So I raised my hand and I said, I would like to help. How can I help? And lo and behold, now almost 20 years later, I am still helping with some of the events.
That's amazing. Yeah. And that would be so huge when you're running organizations like that too. Everybody's busy, they have different they have jobs and responsibilities. Having somebody you can rely on to say, okay, everybody needs to be here at this time, this is what's happening, here's the itinerary. Like, if that's your skill and you bring that to a group of people, it really is amazing when you can see a group of people come together. And the Home Builders Associations, what I love about them is you see competitors that are really getting together to lift up the city and solve complex problems. We talked about the affordability crisis, and we're talking about, okay, look at where interest rates at. People can't buy houses. Rentals are skyrocketing. People need to live somewhere. Homeless issues. How do we actually solve these? Where I think sometimes the general consumer out there can think, well, the developers are just running home with their bags of money and just making insane amounts of profit and not giving back. They don't see what happens behind closed doors.
They don't see the community behind it.
Yeah. And what are things that you've seen in the community that really drive you to want to give back even more?
It could be anything. It could be, you know, maybe a special interest where, you know, somebody needs a deck built and the Home Builder Association goes out and builds a deck for a family in need. There's a lot of stuff that goes on that doesn't get the press. And they give back to the community. I mean, every one of the builders are part of that, even if it's through, you know, the Lottery Dream Home or, again, community sponsorship of a team for youth sports or... I mean, it's endless, but they do a lot of behind the scenes, and you're right. People just say, oh, they're going home with their bags of money. That's not the case.
Good, and it's interesting because there's good and bad people in every single industry. And there's builders we've worked with, builders we haven't worked with, where we've seen things they've done behind the scenes where they may have a rough exterior because they're dealing with trades and building houses. And it can be a tough business sometimes, but then the things that they do from a philanthropic perspective would actually surprise a lot of people watching this video. So two things, I think. If you're in the industry, and especially if you're a female, reach out to Sarah, connect with her. I think getting involved in something like the LHBA would be great, or just getting involved in the trades or the industry. It definitely needs more women, but if you're somebody watching this that doesn't know what that world looks like, go online and do a quick Google search. I think it really would do everybody well to sit on boards, get involved, and volunteer their time. One of the biggest advantages in my career was when I started joining the boards at Elstar, and I sat on MLS advisory, brokerage advisory, the disciplinary committee for 5 years. We would spend hours and hours and hours in meetings talking about every single complaint that came into the board. But over that 5 year period, we affected so much change to fix the problems that kept coming up about agents not notifying sellers when they weren't going to show a house. They're moving their whole families, and all of a sudden now they've instituted a fast fine system where agents definitely notify them, because if not, they're getting immediate fines. The general consumers would never know that. And I think it takes people like yourself in the industry and people like the LHBA and Windsor and Elgin and Strathroy and everybody to do it in their own right. One of them I wanted to talk about, St. Thomas.
Yes.
So we have a lot of projects in St. Thomas. My best friend growing up built the Amazon building down there. Okay. And watching what's happening is very interesting. I think St. Thomas and Elgin County have been very smart with encouraging economic development, opening, rolling out the red carpet for business, investment. Mm-hmm. The Home Builders Association, with a market that is seeing so much attention so quickly, what are your thoughts on the St. Thomas-Elgin market and how that specific Home Builders Association is operating?
I think Angela DeVries, their executive officer, she's done a wonderful job with that and highlighting with the builders, doing builder tours and offering and showing what St. Thomas and Elgin County has, as well as like with Domus and Wastel, what they're doing down in Port Stanley. They're bringing recognition to areas, but they're also investing in those communities. And I know a lot of people think, oh, it's a far way to go. Yeah. It's really not. If you're in the south end of London, you're 20 minutes to St. Thomas, if that.
Yeah.
And then another 10 down to Port. So they're really expanding outside of London and showing what great areas we have in St. Thomas, in Port Stanley, in Mount Bridges, any of the outlying areas, Dorchester.
Yeah, very much so. Mm-hmm. It's the GLA, right? It's the greater London area. And I even think London needs to get a little bit competitive to understand that we were the primary market for a long time and we do a lot of work in Port Stanley and St. Thomas. We always have. Mm-hmm. And, you know, me being like the Switzerland, seeing both cities grow, initially London was drawing a lot of the talent. St. Thomas now in Elgin County specifically, it seems to be a place that a lot of people want to invest. I think it's going to encourage a friendly competition between, say, St. Thomas
for
and
sure.
the London area. But truthfully, we are all together in this catchment area where, you know, Arva, you look at Lucan, you look mm-hmm. at all the projects, you literally were bi-coastal. So you look at Grand Bend to Port Stanley and you look at Woodstock to even about the Sarnia area. We're a family of communities that are all interconnected because we're too far from the greater Toronto area right. to just go there for a cup of coffee. And we rely on each other for employment, for housing, and for all the key factors that we have to need to survive. Right?
And I think you'll find that too. There's a lot of crossover builder members.
Yep.
For example, like Doug Terry Holmes, he's a member of also in London yep. and St. Thomas. And there's a lot of support. And this year, I don't know if you know this, but the Ontario Home Builders Association president is Dave DePensier out of...
He's a good friend of mine,
yes.
actually.
Yes, yeah, okay.
Yeah. He builds so, incredible homes. Again, shout out to Dave. He's going to be on the podcast soon, actually. I'm going out to see him for it. So it'll be like what I showed you with Mark.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
And he, again, great voice of Southwestern yeah, Ontario.
Sure.
So I think you're seeing a lot of communities come together, and Windsor.
Yeah.
Can't forget about Windsor down there.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they feel like the world ends in London, and that is so not true. And there's a lot of building happening down there as well. That's one of my bigger markets.
Yeah. A-Rod bought a house with an agent friend of mine down yeah. there. Shout out, Joe. Hope you're doing well. And I know that the Windsor market is thriving. It's interesting because you see a separation kind of between what's happening in Windsor and
right.
Sarnia. But again, we're Canadian. We're all in that Southwestern mm-hmm. corridor. I've been so inspired watching your content over the past couple of years. And I think just the nature of how you approach the business inspires me. The Home Builders Association, I really wanted to highlight that as well. Larry Clay was on the podcast. Mm-hmm. So he was the past president of the Canadian Home Builders Association. And truly the exact same mentality. I think this is an industry where people can feel inspired going to work every day and find fun ways to enjoy what they do. Work hard and you get paid to do it.
Yeah.
But there's so much more than just a transaction or a sale. And I think you do that with your clients
thank
and as
you.
Well in the industry. So I want to commend you on that.
Thank you.
So thank you, Sarah, for coming on the Prime People podcast. We'll definitely connect you with anybody who's interested. Send me a DM or her links will be included in the recording. If you've seen this podcast before, leave a rating, a review. We pull a prize every month for somebody in the Prime Nation. If you're new, just make sure to hit that subscribe button, share the episode with one person that you think may appreciate it. And more than anything, connect with Sarah directly. You can go to Instagram and you can find her. What's the Instagram account name?
Stone and Brick Girl.
Stone Brick Girl. Send her a DM. Send her all your ideas. If you're building a house, connect with her as well. And we'll see you on the next episode.